completing two projects in 2017 that resulted in more than 1.5 million kilowatt hours in energy savings, the Arizona Air National Guard is doing more than protecting this country. Today, we're talking about true freedom in every sense of the word. Hi, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Let's get started. This is the fifth show in the series done by TEP because they celebrate the Brighty Spotlight Series Awards, and we are indeed ready to celebrate with our two in-studio guests and the incredible, and I would say almost epic work that they have done and continue to do that represents real impact to our community and to the planet in general. But before I do that, here is our tip from Tucson Electric Power. They are one of our truly valued partners. And I love that it's an energy efficiency tip. It makes so much sense. And they're always good ones. And they're always good reminders to me. And this one is all about how planting trees in all the right places can actually reduce your energy costs. And there are so many other benefits to tree planting. But what they said is a well-designed landscape not only adds beauty to your home, but can also reduce your heating and cooling costs. And it's so true. A well-placed tree, shrub, or vine can produce shade in the summer and act as a wind break in the water to reduce energy bills. And there's a whole nother conversation around what they do to absorb water. So our storm water, it's all connected. So get out there, plant trees. They have wonderful tree programs at TEP, which you can go to their website and you can get trees for a drastically reduced rate. So it's all about saving energy and helping to preserve our planet. So now, please join me in welcoming our two in-studio guests, Colonel Sandra Wilson and Lieutenant Colonel Greg Hoffman from the Arizona Air National Guard. It is wonderful to have both of you with us today, and I said that before we got on air because I'm really eager to hear the story. It's such thought leadership and one so worth telling. So it's always good to start in the beginning. I try to do that as on a regular basis, but the Arizona Air National Guard's 162nd, I'm tongue-tied this morning. I don't know what's going on here. It's Friday. Wing committed to and accomplished in 2016-17 quite a bit, which is the reason you two are sitting here. So tell us about the project. I don't care who goes first, but it's commitment to energy resource, energy savings is I think epic's a good word. It's a big number. So
yeah, so we started the project. I think the project prep started back in 2015. So it takes quite a while to get things together, typically just to program things and get the funding for it. But we were able to pull together a good couple projects. So two separate projects. One was to update our exterior lighting, so that all the lighting around base outside, we had the high pressure sodium, which is a very energy intensive light fixture that we converted all those to LED fixtures. And then we also changed some of our monitoring control systems. So basically the systems that allow us to observe the energy consumption in the building. So we upgraded both of those. And then over the, as we look back at those, we're seeing about a 60% saving, $72,000 per year on top of the rebate through the TEP program. So it's really one of those almost too good to be true projects.
It's almost like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But you have to invest the capital. And that's what, to me, when I was doing this and looking at the numbers, I was listening to a tape the other day and it said, if you can't measure it, it didn't happen. Well, this is so measurable and so impactful and really so important. So that number blew me away. How did TEP participate as a partner in that? Because, you say these things of what was done. It's massive. It's big numbers. It's lots of lights. From doing a lot of these shows, the control space, the temperature control space and monitoring, some of the biggest breakthroughs are happening in the technology space, which I think is amazing. So how did TEP help participate and make this happen? And was that an incentive too?
Yeah, so we're actually working with them on a project this year too to do some interior LED projects. So they're very good at when we set the project up and then they come in and make sure that it's done to their specs as well. So they've been very helpful in not just getting the project kicked off, but then making sure it's done to the requirements that so it's eligible for the rebate as well. So we're starting another project with them this year that we should see some rebates
So we're going to talk about that too, but they're partners. They're partners in sustainability, and that's what I say on the show. They're really partners in making things happen. They don't just write checks. They sit there, and we had the head of sustainability from the University of Arizona on, and sometimes they have some expertise, but when you have the expertise of Tucson Electric Power staff partnering with U of A, better results. So, and isn't it amazing to you that changing out light bulbs can result in that kind of savings? I mean, it's hard to think, but you're talking scale, right? So that's amazing. I wanted to ask too, if you know this, and as I said, I never play stump the guest. Why did you do it? It wasn't just the energy savings, I wouldn't think, but why did you take on the project?
So, we talk a lot. The Air Force is very focused on mission assurance. But our primary goal is to make sure we can meet mission. But cost savings is a big part of that,
yes.
Right? So, you know, our initial and historically, the Air Force has really looked at energy projects through a cost savings lens. But I think we're kind of shifting towards a resilience lens. So look at projects that'll, you know, save money, but then also that money ties back into being able to meet mission. So that's one of the ways we kind of frame our energy projects to make sure they're doing both those things. And that's a difficult balance because the mission side is things a lot of times the private industry doesn't need to look at to make sure you're doing things that both save money, but then also make sure that you're resilient and can operate in a lot of different scenarios.
And let's talk about that a little bit more. It's, to me, I love exploring that path of resilience because you protect us. And if something goes wrong, if there's a compromise of the grid, talk about why it's important in terms of accomplishing your mission and it's in alignment with your mission, why energy resilience is so important. And I get it, but you can, I'm sure, articulate it a little bit better than I can.
Sure. So I think it depends a lot on the mission of the base. There's some bases that can only have an outage for, you know, a minute, and then they have problems, or there's some bases that can operate longer. But I think the biggest benefits, and we're still kind of working through how to integrate, how to work these sorts of projects. But right now we rely on, for those functions, on diesel powered generators typically, which are the least efficient. So if we can figure out ways to transition from that sort of backup power to a microgrid that provides power when you provides low cost power, but also stores that power. So when you have an outage that you can use that, that's kind of the way that the Air Force as a whole is going, is looking at those projects that give you that resilience.
Some of the most incredible outcomes in the energy space and energy conservation space, and a lot in the conservation and environmental arena, have come about as a result of R&D of military. They are on it. Solar backpacks. I mean, I've had so many stories on the show of the military leading the charge in the resilience space and the protection space. What about, you know, I think we're so spoiled in this country. I can't say it enough. We don't have, if we have an energy outage for 3 hours, everybody's on their phones, calling TEP, going on Twitter to see what the energy outage was. We don't have a clue. But what you are thinking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you can't go out for 3 hours. And there could potentially be attacks on the grid. I'm a believer of that we have to be scared. Not scared, but prepared. I like that word better than fear. So is that a part of being prepared for that? Because climate change is going to shut grids down, and it has in places. When I talk to climate scientists, I'm not kidding you two, and they talk about it's possible that there'll be 140 degrees temperatures in Phoenix this summer, so airports will be dramatically impacted. The engineers that I talk to are looking at new materials, new composites that will allow tarmacs to not be melting in 140 degree temperature. So what is your reaction to that in terms of having to think about not just the inconvenience of having the air conditioning go out, but your mission?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Air Force published last year, they call it, it's an energy flight plan. So the Air Force at higher levels has produced flight plans that have kind of trickled down. So they produce an energy flight plan that talks about that exact issue. So, and the primary focus of the flight plan, if you read it, is on resiliency. So how do you, that's the first consideration in an energy project. But then there's kind of three, there's three circles if you think of that. So the first is resiliency. So how do we make sure that we can operate an extended outage? And then how do you pick projects that are cost competitive and clean? And the intersection of those three circles is the projects we kind of look for. But the key concern, like you talked about, is resiliency, because that's really what we're all about, is being able to operate if things happen. And that's in the United States and also overseas locations, developing technologies that allow us to do that.
It just really does blow my mind, and many times boggle my mind, about, like I said, what's happening in the technology space for protection of, because we just, I know I'm one that doesn't do it as much, but takes energy. It's cold, I put on the heat. It's hot, I turn up the air conditioning. And that's just the potential for that continuing to happen is it's going to be iffy, I think, in the days to come, when you understand that it's going to be 17 below zero a lot. And also, I do not want to be here when it's 140, I admit, right? We're all shaking our head. I want to have the video component to this, so we can all sit here and show that we're shaking our heads in agreement. Who decides it? Do you have any sense? Is it a systemic approach to what you can do? Are you partnering with thought leaders that know these are the things that have to be done? Because the Air Force is very progressive and aggressive in making these things happen. Where does that come from? I always say pace of the leader, pace of the team, and I believe that.
Yeah, so typically our higher level guidance is for these types of programs is established at the secretariat level. So
so very, 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 very high up.
Yeah. Yeah, so they set the overall, you know, the focus through that energy flight plan to say, this is the kind of stuff we want to pursue. And then that trickles down. I mean, we're a component of the Air Force. So for us, that trickles down through the Air Force leadership, and then through the Air National Guard and National Guard Bureau leadership. And then they publish policies and say, these are the types of projects we want to pursue. These are the type of projects that we're setting aside money for. And then we kind of shape our projects that we prepare to compete for those dollars. But it really does start at the highest level to kind of to set those priorities, and then
pace
we take
the leader,
there.
Pace of the team. It's really true, and that is a great impact and a benefit to all of us. So $72,000 a year savings. I feel like I should ring the bell. TEP gave you a big check for this work. Yes,
they sure did.
And how much was that check?
What was that check?
$180,000.
That was a nice thing to have happen. And when you talk about budget, there's military budgets. So that allows you to put money, reinvest back in other things. So perfect segue for what I know you're not stopping there. What are some of the other projects that you're involved in?
So right now we're pursuing, I kind of talked about it real quickly, but another interior lighting project.
Right, right. Extensive is that? It's just like going and replacing all the lighting. It's a huge energy savings.
Yeah, so it's three of our larger buildings that we're replacing, upgrading to LED lighting. So that'll be a fairly significant savings. And we're still working out the rebate issues with Tucson Electric Power. We also do, we're working on some, they're called retro commissioning projects. So these have been kind of pushed down from our from the National Guard Bureau leadership level. And these are projects that go into old facilities and kind of look at how are they operating, and then reset those facilities to operate more efficiently. So a lot of what we do is not necessarily new projects, but as we renovate, we meet certain standards to make sure that we're increasing energy efficiency as we do renovations. That's really where we get the most bang for our buck.
What about in the HVAC space? We recently had to replace a unit in our house. And my husband said, I mean, it's always a blow to a homeowner. It was like $6,000 or something. And he said, yeah, but for the life of that, we will be seeing a big dip in our electric bill, because it was an old unit. It was, you know, a SEER nothing. And now we have like a SEER 14 or something like that. But especially with things becoming hotter, what are you doing in the HVAC? Because that's a big ticket item for the energy bill. It's also can have the most impact when it's upgraded to what the current units can do.
Yeah. So a lot of our units are
probably pretty old,
reaching life expectancy. Yeah. So as we, you know, that's a big area where we can do upgrade to the most current system. As we do, we're actually doing renovations for our future wing headquarters, and then a new operations building. So all those systems will be upgraded as part of that. And for our larger renovation projects, we use a third party commissioning program. So it's through the U.S. Green Building Council. We use them to review our designs and make sure we're meeting all the sustainability goals associated with that. So those typically the big ticket items are the HVAC systems where you can make an impact.
And another organization that's amazing is the USGBC. I mean, what they're doing. We were involved in a program here in Tucson called Scale Up, and we had courses from them online. They were online, like their staff was there helping with building owners of all sizes, big and small, telling them some of the things they could look at to make their green building. I have a question that I might not have asked a long time ago, but I have another partner / sponsor who wants me to do some podcasts on what he calls the built environment. He's an architect, and he talked about the sense of space, comfort, noise level, you know, air quality and all that stuff. Is that a consideration? Will some of these things that you're doing actually increase comfort level for the people that are in the buildings?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's part of the of our design guidance we get through the National Guard Bureau is to make sure we're laying out spaces that can be utilized. Like if we change mission 2 years from now, can we reutilize that space without renovating it again?
Got it.
Then also, how do you lay it out for, you know, for to operate well as an office environment or whatever it's for? And then also, you know, how do you make sure that you're increasing exterior lighting? All those things are part of that third party certification to work that into design. And we do that through unified facility criteria. That's basically federal government wide standards that we meet for facilities. So if we're following those guidelines, we typically are addressing those issues in a renovation project.
I always wonder, and I've never done this, and I'm going to write it down so that I do it. I really believe TEP are great partners in sustainability. They're great partners if you have a nonprofit. I was at the SARSEF, the science fair yesterday, where there were thousands of people, and the prime sponsor was TEP. They paid for kids to be able to get there. You know, they helped in so many ways it would not have happened without TEP. I always wonder, how do they measure up with other utility companies? And if you have any sense for that, because my question actually is, do you have an awareness of what's going on in other Air National Guards, even up in Phoenix? Are you guys leading the charge, or is it just kind of mandated from leadership? Or what do you know about the uniqueness of what you're doing because of the partnership with TEP is basically my question.
So I think I don't have a lot of Air National Guard experience. I was active duty Air Force for quite a while, so I've been in some other locations and dealt with utility companies. I have not seen a program as robust as the energy savings program.
I love that you said that. And this was nothing rehearsed, but it's like when I go around the country, I have a sense for they're really committed to this.
TEP is very committed to sustainability, and they are quite the partner with us. They've partnered in multiple ways. I was telling you before we went on that when the government shut down and there was a concern for if we're paying our bills, I got a phone call from TEP, and they asked if we needed any help. They just wanted to be there for us.
Like, who does that? As a utility company, I'm serious. When you said that, I went, yes, we should talk about that on the air.
Unbelievable.
Your liaison or the staff person called and said, you're not getting paid, so can you pay your electric bill?
Yes, ma'am. He was amazing. I hung up the phone and I called the wing commander to tell him how moved I was by that gesture.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we remember to bring that up. It's really unbelievable. In terms of, you know, like my friend Mike that I was talking about that wants to do the built environment, he's also on the DM50, which is very active in making sure everything stays here, and he's an amazing human being. But through your leadership and what you're doing, does it have any ripple effect on the community? Do you see that? Because thought leadership to me is what is changing the world. So do you have an opportunity to showcase this? Do you get to talk to other groups about what you did? Because I'd like you to come to my Rotary Club so that business owners, big building owners can say, look what they did. We could partner with TEP. It's not just because it's the military.
we do partner with our community quite a bit, and we do have an opportunity to showcase. We'll talk to whatever organization that wants to hear our mission, our values, and we're focused on innovation and the things we can do to innovate and work more effectively. And some of that comes down to relationships with community partners.
And it is the way of the future. I'm telling you, I am out there a lot, and I've always had a partnership mindset, but the way that we're moving forward, especially in Tucson, there's a lot of good community partners. And to even say that about utility company, and of course CEP is unique in that they do supply and distribution, and a lot of utility companies around the country don't do that. So it's a tribute to you. And hearing it, and sometimes to me, there's more credibility if it comes from a business, which you are, business that does it, as opposed to TEP seeming self-serving to promote its programs. So I think that's great. So are there anything else that I didn't cover in terms of what's next and what's exciting? What else do you have in terms of the future? There have to be things that you want to share with us.
Well, there's some pretty cool things that we're doing internal at the 162nd, and it involves repurposing normally disposable parts. It's part of the regulation that guides the maintainers, and there's the ability to reuse parts and have financial savings and actually cash back into our pockets and to be green while we're going about that. And so we've got a pretty robust program. It's called the AFRIP program, stands for Air Force Repair Enhancement Program. And it gives us an opportunity to do the right thing and help ourselves as well.
And it's interesting in this time, like we have conversations about, even if you don't believe in any, if you don't want to have the climate change conversation, there's something good, inherently good, about being good stewards of the earth, which is the place from which I think I come. It's like, it doesn't matter. We should be doing the right thing. And that's the right thing to do. It's what my parents did when my mother was, she would wash off the tinfoil and save it because she wouldn't throw it out. I've learned as Mrs. Green that wasn't the best thing to do for your health, but she taught us. It's in my DNA to not waste, and leftovers and all of those things. So reusing parts, we went through such a conscious, conspicuous consumption, disposable, you know, and I know some of the population is still involved in it, but by and large, people are more aware of where's our waste going and can we reuse this. Even with Local First, we started an e-waste collection for our monthly mixers so that you're not throwing your cell phone or your cords or whatever in the garbage. We don't throw that. It's like, why would you throw that in the garbage? It can be mined for other parts. So that's incredible. And then what about, I did get in my notes, what's a qualified recycling program? Is that it?
So qualified recycling program is an Air Force established program that gives you more flexibility to contract for recycling type efforts. So we're able on our wing to contract kind of directly with downtown providers to recycle certain items, and then we're allowed to take some of that money back. We can either reinvest that in the QRP program. So we use the money right now to, you know, purchase equipment that helps with the recycling program. We pay some of the salary of the individuals who manage the program. And then we can also take a portion of that money and reinvest it in quality of life initiatives for the wing. So it's really it's a win-win. And the Air Force has recognized kind of incentivizing recycling through that QRP program that we're using.
The military is doing so much. I mean, I know this, and I know I took a tour when I did a solar tour, and this was like, I would say 2 years ago, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago when they would do solar tours and we'd go see the solar fields at the tech park. And then we ended up at DM looking at what they had done in terms of their solar array. So there's a lot of leadership going on there. Now, this is where it might be stump the guest, because you guys presented some really great notes, and I'm reading this, and this is when I say my expertise is in hopefully making the guests feel comfortable and not being a content area expert, but in asking good questions. So I'm reading this and I'm going to read it so that, and my guests who listen, they know me, our tribe, the listeners. So it says, induction lamps differ from HPS and metal halide, I think that's how you say it, in that they do not use internal electrodes, but use a high frequency generator with a power coupler. That to me is Greek. I got notes in Greek. can you, what does that even mean? What the heck? I'm reading, I'm like, the generator produces a radio frequency magnetic field to excite the gas field. And I'm like, Gina, you are so above your pay grade. You have to ask this question. What does that even mean?
So that's just referencing the old technology that we used in our exterior lighting. So high pressure sodium that demands a lot of energy.
Get it.
And then
get it. Okay.
We switched those out for a more energy efficient model. But I couldn't tell you. I could tell you exactly how that works either. But that's
that makes
the basics.
Sense when you say that, really and truly. And I'm one of those. You know, my. Our tribe, the Mrs. Green's World people that listen, they are like me. They're like, what? And they want to know. They want to know a little bit more, and they want us in English, not Greek. So that was very helpful to me. What about building efficiency in terms of the whole shell, the big picture of building energy efficiency? I have a friend that works at the university, and we were talking one day at lunch as friends about my obsession with straws, that you shouldn't, you know, we use 500 million straws a day. That's an energy impact, trust me, on so many levels. And she just said, you know, we can stop using all the straws in the world, but if we don't figure out building energy efficiency, that's the big heavy lift. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that's where we struggle sometimes, because a lot of our facilities are, you know, 50 plus years old. And to upgrade them, you know, obviously we'd like to, but the cost of doing that is always
cost
difficult.
Prohibitive. Right.
So that's where we kind of focus on when we get into a renovation, doing as much as we can through that certification process. So when we bring an architect engineer firm on board, they're very savvy on ways to do that, and usually give us a lot of good ideas on things we can do. And then it's just a matter of, you know, at the end of the project, it always turns into what can we afford to do? So we have to balance that sometimes, but we typically try to integrate those upgrades as we can when we do a renovation.
And even though it's going to save money, you have to find the money to do it to save the money. Yeah. That's the reality. And when you're talking about the 162nd, is scale. It's not a, you know, a 1,200 square foot imprint. It's a big, big deal to have to do that. Back to the science fair, which I was so excited. I said to the person that invited me, I said, can I live here? And the reason I got so excited is we cover a lot of heavy topics on this show that are, we put our heads down on the desk when it's over and just say, you know, I hope we live to see the changes that need to come when it's about starvation, so many of those things that the impact of droughts have had, and on, flooding and so forth. These kids, I say to both of you, I had fifth grade to evaluate. I evaluated 26 energy, it was called Earth and Environment Projects. So that was what the focus was. And they talked about, I'm saying to this our team leader, I said, like, is this fifth grade? Because of the things that they are thinking about, working on solutions for, and energy efficiency came up in a lot. And not pithy change out the light bulbs, which is big, but they did, you know, experiments with building insulation. And what I learned, Mrs. Green, is that one of the most impactful ways to insulate is outside insulation. You think inside, they proved it. And sod was one. I don't know how they had pictures of how they did it. So it was so hopeful to me to live in the space of all these kids are there thinking about solutions. So it was great. I want to tell you something that I think will make you laugh. I've been doing this show for over 10 years and have had many guests sit there, and I usually mention people's first names. What I was thinking about today is I think I was raised right, because there's nothing I could ever call either one of you except Colonel, because that's how I was raised. It's like, no, you're not really on a first name basis with me. And I mean, with climate scientists and all that, I'm like, so Jonathan, or actually it was Jonathan Overpeck, I'd call him Peck. But as I was preparing for this, I just, you know, I get a little emotional here. And I want to say that Sandra and Greg didn't roll off my lips at all, because I have so much respect for what you do. And that's really sincere on my part.
Thanks.
It's not anything that I would ever be interested in doing. I'm scared. I'm a scaredy cat. My husband was in the Air Force. But I do have respect, a lot of respect for what you do and for protecting us at a time when we have, I believe, never needed it more. So there. You can see the tears, my guests can't hear it. I didn't like totally lose it on air, but I think it's important that you get that tribute for what you do. And I know that I'm not alone. I mean, I see it happen in restaurants and at the airports and all that. And it's well deserved because you do things that I don't even want to think about having to do. So
Thank
that's
you.
From my heart.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now I have the last word from Mrs. Green. I'm pulling it together. As a mission-based organization, we're committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable. This is yet another one of our shows that helps to remind us that there really is a great deal of good news out there, working on important issues being addressed that are connected to our national security. Because of the Arizona Air National Guard's commitment to the projects we discussed and to their future initiatives, they are literally guarding America and defending freedom. My observation is that they are committed to energy resilience at every level of their organization to protect us, whether it be from the devastating impact of climate change or from the threat of any kind of attack on the energy grid. Without many of us even knowing it, the Arizona Air National Guard are not only our protectors, but have proven themselves to be true leaders in sustainability in both the climate adaptation and climate mitigation arenas. And we need them. We need them to continue to do just what they're doing to help us address the reality of climate change, to preserve our national security, and continue to show up with strong sense of purpose and with the pride they demonstrate in serving our community, our country, and our planet. And a final thanks to Tucson Electric Power for being such intentional and supportive partners of so many good things going on in our community. This show was clearly another example of just that, and the Brightee Awards are yet another example of their commitment. So my thanks to both of you, Lieutenant Colonel and Colonel, and I appreciate your time and the great work you're doing. Thanks for coming.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.